Hebrews chapter 1, Proverbs 8. Now we know in the book of Hebrews, we learn that the offering of Jesus Christ, it redeems you forever. It perfects you forever. It says he is perfected forever, those who are in him. You should never wonder if you're going to lose it, because God, the Bible says that God, the Lord has perfected you forever. He sanctifies you forever. We found that there's no new birth until the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, because until then, there was no basis of redemption. Now, we talked about that on the message on Sunday when we looked at Peter. He said, the Lord said, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren. Well, what did that have to do with? Well, the Lord hadn't been crucified yet. When Peter denied the Lord is prior to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. So he looks like he had lost his discipleship but got restored over in John 21. We know he didn't lose his salvation, because in his high priestly prayer, the Lord said, all that those gave me, I've kept, and none of them is lost, except for Judas. So we know that. So kind of interesting there. But nothing in the Old Testament was a basis for redemption. They were pictures of the Lord's redemption. It just typed or prefigured and foreshadowed the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And until then, the real thing had not been applied. In fact, it says those Old Testament sacrifices could never take away sin. Couldn't do it. They covered them. Folks were considered blameless. But the Lord had to redeem them, redeem us from those sins. All right, in Hebrews 1:5, Jesus Christ in the flesh. An interesting point here, there's a thing in theology, it's referred to as Calvinism or hyper-Calvinism. A hyper-Calvinist believes that everything's cut and dried, everything was set forth before the foundation of the world, and we'll find that there's some things that occur in time. Jesus Christ was born in time. You chose to be a Christian in time. And verse 5, Hebrews 1, verse 5, for unto which the angel said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. Notice the word when here applies to a certain time. Jesus Christ was born as a man to the Virgin Mary in time. It's a historical event that occurred in time, not in eternity. The Word was made flesh in time. So why do we make a deal out of that? Because, well, if a man don't understand that, then you can get attached to some of these false doctrines that are out there. And someone will try to tell you that you were reborn and regenerated in eternity, that you didn't have any say-so in it. It was all cut and dried before the world began. You weren't born in eternity. You were born in time. You and I were. Jeff had a birthday this past week. Now, you look at my driver's license, it'll tell you that I was born on July 17th, 1949, and that I weigh around 175 pounds. That's what it'll say on my... Maybe I do weigh a little more than that, but... Don't show me your driver's license. I don't want to check you. But the fact is, Jesus Christ was God who was made flesh, and that the man of flesh was actually born to Mary of the Holy Ghost in time. Are you still with me? As God, he is eternal. He was in the bosom of the Father before the world was. The Lord was with the Father. He's part of the Trinity. He is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And he's eternal. As a man, he was born in time to redeem the world eternally. Now look at Proverbs 8. Now there's a sense in the Trinity that Jesus Christ, as part of the Trinity, is manifested in eternity, but not born as a man in eternity. Now, here's where John Calvin got off the mark. He read Proverbs 8, and then he said, well, Jesus Christ was begotten before the worlds were created. That's how he got to that point. But here you have the praise of wisdom in chapter 8. Jeremiah preached the other night on the fear of God. And the fear of God is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 11 as one of the seven spirits of God. Pardon? Okay, Brother Samuel did. Okay, I'll take that back. Brother Samuel on the fear of God. But in Revelation 4:5, it talks about the seven spirits of God. It talks about out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps that were burning before the throne, and said, which are the seven spirits of God? Well, a lot of folks teach that those seven spirits show up in Isaiah chapter 11. You can't prove that. I can't prove it. But it may be right. In Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2, and you'll see that one of those spirits is the fear of God, and another one is wisdom. And that's where Proverbs talks about wisdom. Isaiah 11 verse 2 said, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. My, my, my. So there's a wisdom is one of the seven spirits of God, and we'll look at Jesus Christ as the great black preacher S.M. Lockridge once said, Jesus Christ is the superlative of everything good. When you come to wisdom, when it comes to knowledge, all those things emanate from our Lord. He's a superlative of all those things. That's where they come from, is from God. And I remember reading Proverbs 8, and you read through there, and it sounds like the Lord, but it's referring back to wisdom. But the Lord is the personification of wisdom. All right, let me find out where I was. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten to the world, he saith, and I let all the angels of God worship him, applying to time. And the fact is that Jesus Christ was God who was made flesh, and that man of flesh was actually born to Mary of the Holy Ghost in time. As God, he's eternal. As man, he is born in time to redeem the world eternally. Now, Proverbs 8, there's a sense in the Trinity that Jesus Christ, as part of the Trinity, is manifested in eternity, but not born as a man in eternity. Now here's, you've got to watch this teaching carefully. You have the praise of wisdom in chapter 8. And if you study chapter 8 in Proverbs carefully, it's not only praising godly wisdom, but it's praising Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is called, referred to as the wisdom of God. Everything in there about wisdom is true about Jesus Christ. Remember over in Luke 4, I'll read a verse in Luke 4:18, and in this verse the Lord is quoting Isaiah 61:1. Luke 4:18, it's the Lord said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, then recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon him. The Spirit of the Lord is the first one of those seven spirits of the of God that's around the throne. And what you see in Isaiah 11:2. So everything in Proverbs chapter 8 about wisdom is true about Jesus Christ. Now look down at Proverbs 8:8. He says, all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. Now that's true about Jesus Christ. There's nothing froward or perverse in them. That's true of Jesus Christ. They're plain, all plain, it says, to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Remember now those seven spirits? You had knowledge and you had understanding. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Remember what I said, what S.M. Lockridge said? Jesus Christ is the superlative of wisdom. He is the wisdom of God. Look at verse 14. Counsel is mine. Do you know what Jesus Christ is called? In Isaiah 9:6, he's called Counselor and Sound Wisdom. I am understanding. Said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Jesus Christ is made unto you and unto me. He's made wisdom and understanding. Find that in 1 Corinthians 1:30. He says, I have strength. He is the strength. No power but of God, the Bible says. And Proverbs 8:15, by me kings reign and princes decree justice. Wow, you know, we get worried about all this craziness and the some of these governors and the poor leadership and craziness going on that has been allowed to happen. But the Bible says the heart of the king is in God's hand. The heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he it listeth whichever way he turneth it. In Proverbs 8:16, it says, by me princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. Don't catch God off guard. God can set them up and he can take them down. Romans 13:1, he sets them up, takes them down. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And Proverbs 8 is talking about wisdom incarnate. The wisdom of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know what he said about himself one time? The Pharisees were arguing with him one time, and he said to them, wisdom is justified of her children. Now, they were saying that he wasn't who he said he was, and he just told them to look at his offspring. Look at their fruit, and you'll know who I am when you see the fruit of those who follow me. He said, if you want to know if something is right or wrong, its fruit will justify it. Jesus had the right everything. Wisdom is justified of its children. I didn't quite understand that when I read it. But everything that Jesus Christ did was good. Everything that I've ever done in my life that was or is good or praiseworthy is Jesus Christ in me, not me. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Anything praiseworthy in my life is yielding to God and allowing him to do something that's praiseworthy. I don't have that in me. I shouldn't get the credit, because the credit belongs to the Lord. The glory belongs to the Lord. All right. The superlative of everything good. The Lord's work justified his wisdom, and they rejected it. Man, the religious crowd, they're quick to reject anything that goes against their tradition The Lord told them in John 5:36 that the works he did bear witness of him that his Father had sent him. And in Proverbs 8, understand that all wisdom emanates from Jesus Christ. Now, all through the chapter, wisdom speaks of Jesus Christ. Proverbs 8:20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Talking about wisdom, also talking about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22. The Lord possessed me. Here it is. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before his works of old. I, talking about the sun, was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. Not as a man, but as part of the Trinity, the Godhead. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. Talking about wisdom, talking about Jesus. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. Remember, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree that the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by him, wisdom emanating from Jesus Christ. As one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of the earth. My delights were with the sons of men. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. It says, whosoever findeth me, talking about wisdom, but also talking about Jesus Christ. When you talk about wisdom, you're talking about the Lord of glory, who is the wisdom of God, and all wisdom emanates from the Lord of glory. So it's not only talking about wisdom for what it is, but talking about Jesus Christ, who it comes from. All things were made by him, created by him, and for his pleasure. So who is the life? Jesus Christ. All the way through the chapter, the Godhead was in eternity, and there was no distinction noticeable. This is the teaching of Greg Easep, and it was kind of difficult for me. I'm not sure that I get it totally. I don't know that anybody that I've read does, but the Godhead was in eternity, and there wasn't a lot of separation and distinction in the Trinity. Now, there comes a time in the future that it talks about everything all in all, in God, all no, I think I've got that verse down somewhere. That maybe it comes back, but you'll see, God will make a manifestation of himself with the Son, make a manifestation of himself with the Spirit. All God, you know what the Word of God is? It's settled in heaven forever. He magnifies his word above his name. That's a manifestation of God. That's why we don't deviate one jot or one tittle from it. Afraid to. I'm not going to mess with that book. But the Godhead is sometimes difficult to understand. 1 Corinthians 15:28, Paul wrote this. He said, and when all things shall be subdued unto him, future, shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. I won't pretend that I understand exactly what that's talking about. I don't know. I know the Lord presents the church to the Father, glorious church, without spot, without blemish. So there's an inference there that the Trinity of the Godhead will go back to its original form. I don't know that. Maybe I'm just not looking at this thing right. But it's over most of our heads, but it appears that in eternity, before God creates the heavens and the earth, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost were manifest as God. And those, they still are, but those three distinctions of the Godhead were then revealed as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. A lot of that wasn't revealed that way in the Old Testament. You had a lot of the Spirit of God. The Spirit would come on a man, and it would go away. Folks weren't indwell with the Spirit. And there's a teaching Greg Easted had, and I'm not quite sure that I got it, where he said God had to separate himself because he couldn't indwell an unclean person. So the Spirit had to manifest itself and cut that fleshy part, that sinful part of man loose, and then the Spirit could indwell that new creature, the soul. I'm not sure how that works, but it makes sense. And he had to separate him to the Son to become a man, to identify with sinful man so that he could redeem mankind. Am I making any sense at all, or is this, all right. Three distinctions of the Godhead were revealed as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And in the Bible, all three manifestations are referred to as Lord. You know, as a young Christian, you get into this thing, well, how should I pray? Should I pray Heavenly Father? Should it all be Heavenly Father, or should I pray to Jesus Christ? I usually say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you. But sometimes I just say, Lord. You know why? Because Lord refers to all three of them. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All right. Acts 21:11, it's talking about Agabus, and the Bible says, thus sayest the Holy Ghost. Another place it says, thus saith the Lord. Psalms 110:1, the Lord said unto my Lord. Man, the Jehovah Witness, I've quoted that verse to Jehovah Witnesses. They don't like it. The last two that was at my house, one asked the other, is that in there? One said, yeah, I think it is. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. God the Father speaking to God the Son. Still with me? Philippians 2:6. Who, being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. My. See, that blows a JW out of the water too, because they say it's God number one and then God number two, like God Junior. No. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus Christ, equal with God. No member of the Godhead takes away from the other one. 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Do you know what it says about the Word? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. The life was the light of men. Now watch verse 14, John 1:14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Luke 1:31, and behold, talking to Mary, behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. My. Man, that book is something. Revelation 19:11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Faithful and True. That's Jesus Christ. He had the Spirit of God is upon him. You have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might. and the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Seven spirits of God. And those spirits emanate from the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's a very interesting teaching. So whenever you read that, those books on wisdom, understand those chapters on wisdom, that the superlative that it's also referring to Jesus Christ. It can't not. Anybody ever hear S.M. Lockridge on My King? He talks about my king, king of righteousness, the king of glory. He goes on and lists it. It's pretty moving, pretty stirring. I've preached on that before, but being a white guy, it kind of loses something in the translation. He is a great old fireball, Holy Ghost-filled black preacher. Good. All right. I think I've said what I needed to say. I've said that to say this. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. Now, there's only one person that can save you, and that's Jesus Christ. Being smart won't save you. The world, by wisdom, they knew not God. Now, all those folks in all those folks in Greece, they were always looking for some new thing, and they's trying to always figure out God philosophically. They never could do it. Could never get a handle of God. What does it all mean, man? What is truth? Jesus Christ is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's understanding. He's wisdom. He's knowledge. It all comes from Him. He's counselor. There's no counsel against God. And the fear of the Lord is one of those spirits. Hope you've got the fear of the Lord. That is one of the big motivators for me getting saved, was the fear of the Lord. The spirit of the Lord. If you've trusted Christ, then the Lord is that spirit, the Bible says. The spirit of Christ. He that hath not the spirit of Christ is none of his. So the Holy Ghost is the spirit of Christ, but that indwells you. It says you're indwelt by the Spirit, then it says you're indwelt by Christ. How do you say you? Now there's a separation in the Trinity. I won't try to explain what I don't understand. God loves you. He came to earth so He could redeem mankind, save you from your sins, because you're born with a sinful nature from Adam on down through the ages. And we need a redeemer. Religion don't do it. An angel can't do it. Is it the Mormon? They've got the gold tablets from the angel Moroni and added to the Word of God, which the Bible says don't do that. One of the main reasons I read the Book of Mormon, got one on my bookshelf at home, but when it said here's an addition to, I did it for that. Don't take long for a country boy to say that's foolishness. All right, I'm done. Everyone stand up tonight. The altar's open if you're here. You've never trusted Christ. Why not? Why not? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. That was the Jews. They didn't receive him. But to as many as received him, that's whosoever will. That's you tonight if you've never trusted Christ. I look around the room. I trust everyone in this room is saved. If not, it'd be a good time to make that decision. The altar's open. I've got water in the baptistry getting ready to baptize a couple folks that are led to the Lord and off the street in the last couple weeks. See if I can't get them in here to get baptized. So, God is good. All hearts and minds clear. As the altar's open, won't you come as we sing?